And it's not a real contrived manipulative thing. It's more like I'm there with them and we're all going through this thing together, and I need to laugh just as much as they do after like a heavy song. And my new comic songs are coming in very handy in that case. So, you know.
Okay, that leads us really well into performance. Women's music. You said earlier that lesbian music is different than women's music.
Mm-hmm.
It gets real tight there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, a lot of women are doing women's music who are lesbians,
mm-hmm.
but not pushy at all,
mm-hmm.
not strong, being that passive role.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe there's women's music as opposed to the white Northern European male traditions that have been set down? I mean, is there something
mm-hmm.
that's different in the form that's coming out of women?
Yeah, I think so. But I think, okay, now I'm very, very radical. I don't believe that men really create music. I believe that men have, over the centuries and to this day, taken art that came from women originally and made it their own. So I don't even see male music as an entity in and of itself. However, there is this thing to contend with now, that is what they've done with this music. And I think that they have put their own two cents into it. And I agree with Margie Adam that women, the form is different when it comes from women in this particular space and time, when we've grown up with male music or male influenced music. We've heard them use chords that are sort of, well, just more closed, and we in turn tend to use chords that are just more open and enclosing. And it's almost biological. I think of a lot of the chords and the ways men use music as a projection, like just as their bodies, like their penises are this projection that just kind of sticks out and hits things. And I think of women's music as women's bodies, these wide chords that are just encircle all these other notes, you know, and this opening where there is this great amount of depth inside, you know. And there's more to it than that. I think, for instance, men are real hung up on rhythms being very constant and simple in that sense, even though, of course, especially in, you know, Latin or black music, you get lots of intricate rhythms, but they're all rhythms that keep going at the same pace, whereas Laura Nyro is the perfect example of a woman who doesn't feel confined to any rhythmic pattern. It's every line and every musical part has its own rhythm, and, you know, I do that a whole lot too in my music, you know, and it's just what comes naturally for me, and I can't stand being confined to, you know, your little 4/4 timing and don't go beyond it, you know.
This is exactly where I'm going here. Okay. Do you think there's a cycle, you know, circular kind of thing to women's music, in its pattern, kind of a tension release, tension resolve? I mean, that's what's been said before.
Tension release, tension resolve, as opposed to maybe building up to a climax and then dropping.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought of it in those terms. I guess I would have to think of it. That's not coming from the way I perceive it, but it makes sense to me. Again, it seems like the patterns of the song go around and around and around rather than building up to a certain point and then crashing. And again, it's so biological.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way our bodies work, as opposed to men's bodies. It's real interesting.
I like the way you put it earlier, too, because I've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, people like Kay Gardner say there's certain mm-hmm. notes or chords that are more women identified. And I'm not a musician, I'll say that right off here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that, that certain keys women tend to use more? Is it too broad still?
I wouldn't agree with that. I would say that, first of all, being a woman is not the only criterion for what chords and notes and keys come out of a person. because I know that my tendency to use more minor chords and more dissonant chords.
I think it's E minor, by the way.
Oh, E minor? Yeah.
That Sappho composed her poems for.
Huh.
Now, I'm pretty sure it's E minor. It's on the back.
No, I don't have it. I don't have a record player. I'm such a self-contained musician. No influences whatsoever. I do like E minor, but for me, I know that a whole lot of it's coming not only from my being a woman, but from my being an ethnic woman. Mm-hmm. And I find the discrepancy between myself and white women that their ears tend to go more for more major chords or more. You know, like a major seventh chord, whereas my ear is in this Eastern place, and it's got to have ninths and seconds or whatever, you know, just real strange chords. Which is not to say that a white woman could not be in that place, because, of course, it would be considered more sophisticated, and anyone who is into jazz or more bizarre forms of music would go for those chords, too.
Did you know Susan Abbott?
Yeah, I know Susan.
How do you feel about her music, let's say, and that, does she take more minor? I haven't heard her new music, okay?
Well, I haven't heard her new music either, if she's been writing recently. And, you know, I really couldn't say much about Susan's music because...
She's more into jazz, that's why I
was... Yeah, thinking. She's into jazz, but her writing, when I was hearing any of it, was... At very elementary stages, she was just really getting into it, so I don't really know what she's doing now.
What she does with the piano? There seems to be a lot of minor stuff there.
Not compared to what I do. I think Margie uses a whole lot of major normal chords. Lost in Inner Space is an example where she doesn't, you know, where she has a lot of woman chords in there, I would say. And I find that really musically interesting. But a lot of Margie's more popular songs are chords that I cannot stand. I mean, you know, just...
From an opposite direction right. To the rest of the audience.
Because, you know, those are those major chords. I think those are coming from Margie's place of growing up white and pretty well off financially, which is where she's coming from. And a lot of women can relate to that. That's not where I'm coming from, so I do something else. You know, it's just... different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Slump that one off. You want to go any more on the forum?
There's so much to say about
yeah.
it. I feel like
and
I could.
That's where I'm having the hardest problem. Mm-hmm. This is not being a musician myself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, who knows, right?
But I know there's something different, because when I first started hearing women's music, especially stuff that used to be a little bit more open.
I don't know, we're all, I think we're real babies in terms of forming this new form. We're all old, for one thing. I mean, we're old in the sense that we are in our 20s and 30s and have been conditioned with, and our minds, our creativity has been squelched, so that what we do is real limited. How far we're able to reach beyond what we've been taught is only so far. But we're babies in the sense that this is a whole new thing. We're the first to do it, you know, we're whatever, the beginnings of the matriarchy in the midst of the patriarchy. I'm feeling real good about my music right now because I see myself reaching pretty far. The new trend of getting into these more Eastern sounds with my voice, the degree to which I really get emotional in my music, something that men can't do. They just can't. They can't do things with their voices the way women can. And it's part of my belief about women's music that we have a political responsibility to do just that, do what men can't do, so that we have a culture that they can't even rip off if they want to. That when I write Rainbow Woman, a better example, I have a song where I cry like a baby at the end. I haven't performed it yet like that, and when I do, I think people are going to go bonkers. It's going to really freak people out. When I do it, I feel like I've got to go rest for 6 hours afterwards because it's really traumatic.
Yes.
It's primal. It's really primal. And, you know, there's just no way that Bob Dylan is going to be able to sing this song, you know, whether he wants to rip it off or not. So, you know, I think that's a real important thing to do because traditionally, subcultures, black culture, for instance, have been ripped off by the dominant culture, you know, and so that the blues people who wrote songs out of their own pain and suffering starved to death. But now Bonnie Raitt can sing them and become a millionaire, you know. And I'm not putting down Bonnie Raitt because she does really is sensitive to that issue. But it's just something that has to be thought about, you know. And writing in those same old keys and singing in those same old ways is the quickest way for us to lose our culture before we even get it.
Aside from, you know, how you handle people lyric-wise in an audience and you don't get too heavy and lighten it up a bit, do you do any... Okay, I'm going to use the word educational, and I don't mean in the sense of I know this and I'm talking down to you, but sharing of what you're doing on a broader level than just like, okay, with the audience or on a broader level through interviews.
I think I do that in lots of different ways. It's really important to me to let women know what I'm doing and why. It's also very difficult because I'm coming from a very radical place. And I know that proselytizing is not the way to go about it, and yet I have to make where I am known so that there's something to see. When I was in a more, you know, conservative place, meaning when I was straight, there were lots of women around saying, men are horrible, women's music should be for women only, and I could not understand that. It was, you know, as far as I was concerned, my buddies were nice guys, and they weren't like all those other men out there, and what don't they need, you know, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, I grew. I learned that that wasn't true, and that these women had provided a model for me, or at least given me an idea to consider, and that if we open ourselves up to it, I think we're all sure to agree eventually. But yes, I try to increase the rapport between the audience and the performer as much as possible. One thing that I do is I have a little letter to the audience that I pass out before I perform every time, which I try to update as much as possible so it doesn't seem like this form letter. But it's expensive. I just plainly tell the women in the audience that it's hard as hell for me to get up here. I'm a person just like you. You know, I happen to play and sing. I happen to have a lot of ideas that I think are worth expressing. But if I freak out and get nervous and act weird, that's, you know, that's part of what we're doing here. That I'm not supposed to get up here and be your guru or be your hunk of hot flesh or be everything you wish you could be but won't. But rather, you know, I'm one of you guys, you know. I shouldn't say guys, but that's my New York habit, you know. The response to that has been real nice. Generally, women have been overjoyed that I was making this attempt to not to star trip, you know. It's also weird for me to be doing it at this stage because I'm not, it's not like I'm a big star or ever even close. I've had a really hard time getting recognition. Part of that is my own responsibility in that I had a lot of growing to do. Part of that I am very bitter about, I think, is the responsibility of bad attitudes from women and, you know.
What do you mean by bad attitudes?
Well, let's be honest. I think I've suffered because of racism. I think I've suffered because of racist aesthetics. You know, that this whole thing about what kind of music you write, whether it's heavy, whether you use major chords or minor chords or dissonant chords, whether you say what people want to hear or what they need to hear. I don't bullshit in my music, and I don't go off on cosmic Pollyanna trips or a lot of things that women would like to hear. I don't use my music as an escape valve for all our sufferings. I use it as a way of expressing that suffering constructively so that we confront it and deal with it and feel release but not looking the other way. Music can be used very successfully to look away, and I won't do that. And
not entertaining.
That's right. So, you know.
I like that letter idea, which goes into performers and how the the women that are starting to do this are different in the sense of your regular star tripping.
Right.
They stay up on the stage. And the whole vulnerability that's coming across on stage. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. It's important. It's we have to do it to get away from this really sick sadomasochistic relationship that audiences and performers participate in. An interesting thing about it, though, is that few women have any idea how difficult that makes it on the performer. I really, really lay my guts out on the table when I play, and it is not just metaphor when I say that after every concert I feel gang raped. Even the best concerts I come away just feeling really horrible. And it's because I really make myself so vulnerable, and then afterwards I feel like, oh, why did I do that? What are they going to do with what I gave them, you know? Are they going to respect it? Are they going to know how to handle it? There are less honest performers, I mean, where what they play doesn't mean that much to them. But as a rule, what women do on stage is coming from real deep inside, and you got to be real gentle with it. Oh, they're screaming people.
That has to do a lot with trust, too.
Yeah.
And what I find, as soon as a woman gets into the public eye, the trust from the audience goes down.
Right.
Rapidly.
Right.
That any decision that is then made is bad rap.
Right.
Etc. Also, usually when in the past, not with what's happening right now, but women have a tendency, and people have a tendency, that as they got more famous, to pull back.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, these women don't seem to be pulling back, but the trust is definitely going down.
Yeah. What I was saying about how women don't realize how hard it is because, the more well-known you get, the more you perform, if you stay really vulnerable, it gets harder and harder. You have more and more people coming up to you constantly with their own strange individual perceptions of what you should be doing. I believe in still being totally accountable to my audience. I'm real in touch with what I believe and what I think and working things through. That's not true of a lot of women. And just because a woman has a good voice or plays piano or guitar and performs doesn't mean that she's real politically together. It doesn't mean that she's accustomed to thinking things through. You know, it may be real hard for her to think things through. When a woman comes up to me, I've always got my shit together. I've already thought about it probably. And whatever she has to say, I can really hear and cope with right then and there. Even so, it's real hard. But a lot of other women who aren't as verbal or who just are not real into analysis as I am, I mean, they're suddenly barraged with all these questions and attitudes, and it's real tough, you know. And plus, you get so many off-the-wall responses. You know, I had a woman in my letter. This is such a strange example. In this letter that I hand out at my concerts, it talks about how the process of performing is a collective experience and how whatever happens is up to all of us, not just me. And I make a little joke. I said, it's our party and we'll cry if we want to. Well, here I do this concert, and afterwards this woman said, all right, you want feedback? I'm going to give it to you. And she says, why did you make this joke here? I said, it's just a joke. I just thought it was kind of cute. And she said, well, isn't this a reference to a heterosexual love song from the 60s? I said, yeah, you know. She said, well, aren't you a separatist or a lesbian or something like that? I said, yeah, but, and she says, well, then I don't see how that's compatible with this. I said, it was like she was so hostile.
Yeah.
And it's like I had made myself real vulnerable and said, well, this is where I'm at. I hope you can enjoy it. And she was like zapping me on this real crazy point. And I just said, well, wow, it was a joke. And I said, sure, I'm a lesbian, and I've got politics, but I grew up like everybody else in America listening to cock rock, you know? And this song was part of my, you know, experience, and I thought it was a funny reference that most of us could get behind, you know, at least those of us in that age group. And it's like, she said, oh, and then she walked away.
How do you deal with that? I mean, it's going to happen more and more.
Right. That's why I say it's real hard. You just, you know, you take a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I understand that I'm in a real dangerous position. I have a lot of responsibility, and I don't want it to be this way. But this is the world we're stuck with right now. You know, in my dreams of the lesbian nation, you know, every woman would be great at something, and we'd all be just doing it constantly, and you'd go from house to house seeing somebody, whatever, play music or build a bed or, you know. And it wouldn't be this scene of let's all, you know, pay to see such and such a star.
They're keeping you in an old pattern of what, you know, musicians
yeah.
are.
And it's real hard to break out of. And the tough part is when the performer is willing to break out of it, but the audience isn't. Mm-hmm. And then who gets the shit for it is the performer. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, I think that a lot of us, you know, women, performers in the women's community have been irresponsible and have given lip service to not wanting to star trip or, you know, just given a good line and really been insincere, you know, and that has to be reckoned with too, because we can't get off on ego trips.
Also, the next question after that is, what's the audience responsibility to you?
Yeah. I've written an article on women's music, which I'm not publishing because I'm scared shitless of the response. It's just very critical and very radical, and I name names. And I think that it would be real, it would cause a big stink, and very few people would be willing to respect where I'm coming from. So as much as I think the things I say in this are important, saying them at this time would not be particularly useful for anybody. In my performances, whenever I get it together, I also try to do a thing of, for instance, one performance I gave, I played chords, particular chords, and explained, well, what kind of, you know, I use this chord because it creates this kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And in a real brief, simple little explanation, I know that I just totally increased every person in that audience's awareness of how music manipulates them, and which I think is real important. But most musicians know that all you have to do is use a major seventh chord to get people in a sappy mood, you know. But I would like all people to know, I'd like women to know that that's what's happening. So that, you know, because when I hear a song, I can say, oh, those major sevenths do it every time, you know, I'm getting manipulated by them. But your average woman just gets manipulated and doesn't even know it, because, you know, what does she know about major sevenths, you know? So, yeah, I try to do things like that, just so that it's demystified.
What's their responsibility to you?
Well, as well as, you know, kind of aesthetics, there's a political issue involved in how you use lyrics. I'm very conscious of the fact that I can write a song about a given subject in such a way that nobody knows what I'm talking about, but they'll all applaud because I did a fairly good job out of it, right? Or I can write it in a way that's accessible. Writing a song that's accessible, in other words, clear, and communicative, if it's about anything unpopular, like being a lesbian, being a feminist, whatever, means alienating people, means being responsible to the extent that you're going to get a lot of shit and a lot of people are going to hate you, and that's what I do, because that's, to me, that's what being truthful is all about, and I can't make any compromises. I'm very critical of music that euphemizes its way through acceptance. And I could do very easily sing my guts out about everything I feel in a way that might even be satisfactory to me, because I'd know what I was talking about, but nobody else would, you know? And what kind of support does that give to the women who feel as I feel if they don't even know what I'm talking about? And if I make vague references and make a, I think she means, well, you know, language is meant to be used to say things clearly, not to confuse people. And men have been very good at confusing people and intimidating people by, you know, being so esoteric that, you know, some people think they're real hot because they can figure it out, and other people think, oh, I wonder what, you know, uh-oh. I don't...
Which would be women.
Yeah, right, which would tend to be women. And so I think that has changed in my own life. I've become more overt in my lyrics as I become a stronger dyke or whatever. And I'm writing songs now that I'm amazed people accept them as much as they do. Because, for instance, I just wrote a song about my girlfriend that's a whole lot of negatively connotative or even denotated words as positive, what's the word? I describe her, I use these words that are, everyone else would define as negative as terms of endearment, basically, as ways of just saying, I'm in awe of you, you're so beautiful. I use the word witch, I use the word bitch, I use, I call her a man-hater. I'm surprised that I get applause after I play the song. You know, I have other songs that come down on straight women. They're usually very compassionate, actually. They're usually saying, I understand where you're coming from, but there's really another way. But a lot of my songs are really nasty, you know, because they tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is what art is all about. And I won't compromise on that, you know.
Culture? You want to get into that now, or is there something else?
Well, what do you mean by culture?
Women's culture, lesbian culture, protecting music as part of that culture, protecting the music so that it doesn't get prostituted along the way, which would probably then lead into separatism.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I have a whole kind of political guideline for myself about how I do my music, who I let hear it, and I am very protective of it. Because, as I said, subcultures get ripped off if they don't watch their step. I don't think men should hear women's music at all. I think it's real important that they don't. Not only because the CIA is sitting around with their Chris Williamson album, you know, which fortunately doesn't say too much. if they got a hold of my album or maybe Alex Dobkin's album, I mean, there we are saying we don't want men anymore, and we intend to build a whole nation of women who don't buy automobiles and don't eat meat and, you know, do all, totally threatening the entire male system. I don't think it's a good idea to broadcast it. Here we are broadcasting it. What price stardom. So, you know, it's like always a real major decision whether to do a radio show, whether to let so-and-so listen to my tape, just anything. I want to do albums more than anything in the world. I've always considered recording as my primary thing as opposed to performing. And I still haven't gotten to do much of any. But I'm at the same time that I want to do an album, I'm petrified of the fact that once you get an album out, it's going to go into the hands of who knows who, and you really can't control it. And it's always just a real impossible decision. Burp. Where is it?
Did you get that?
Yeah, right. I was going to say something about something. Wait a minute. I'm going to tap Alex's phone if it's not already tapped. I think they're going to, it probably is though. I think they're going to look at the album cover and say, oh, so this is what they look like. Mm-hmm. And,
we'll find out that anyway.
Oh, I agree, but why should we give them any help? It's going to give them a more concrete idea of where we're coming from. It's going to explain to them that just, it's going to give them information that they couldn't get otherwise.
But it gives women information.
I agree, and my, at least right now, what I feel is it's more important that we give ourselves, that we keep our communications network open, than that we worry about what they're gonna, you know, men are gonna do with it.